doctrine of original sin and the practice of baptizing babies, which is so closely connected with this doctrine. Well, this evening I want us to spend a short time thinking about New Testament baptism. And I'm doing this because this is one of the subjects upon which we are very frequently asked questions. I believe that our time will be well spent, because although this has been one of the most frequently debated subjects in Christian history, and is still perhaps one of the least understood, there can be no question as to its importance. Certainly for sincere believers in Jesus Christ, it is a subject which cannot be ignored. And I think that almost all religious bodies would agree with this last statement. Since almost all of them, there are one or two notable exceptions, there are religious groups who don't believe in baptism, but almost all practice baptism in one form or another, and for one reason or another. Now my purpose this evening is to cut out as far as possible any remarks of my own and simply to let the Bible speak for itself. After all, if we want to know what the Bible teaches on any subject, we simply have to open it and read it. We can only discover Bible teaching on baptism by looking at Bible passages on baptism. And this we shall do just as soon as I've cleared the ground and laid down one or two principles. So, without any further ado, let me suggest that there can be no question as to the importance of the subject we're planning to discuss, certainly not for the Christian, as I say, because it was Jesus Christ himself who commanded baptism. The references are Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I suggest, incidentally, that you might care to have a notebook and a pen handy and jot down these references in order to be able to examine them when you have a little more time. Obviously, we're pressed for time tonight, but if you make a note of the passages, I think you will find the references of great value to you. Matthew 28, verse 18, for example, reads, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age." Now you notice that the apostles were sent out to preach and to baptize, which means that the matter of baptism wasn't left to their discretion, nor to the personal whim or disposition of the people to whom they preached. Baptism is not an optional extra in the Christian faith, not something which one can accept or reject as he pleases. Jesus Christ commanded it, and the message of Christ is not being fully preached if it is ignored. Again, we're discussing water baptism this evening, because that's the baptism commanded by Jesus. Now, I know that some religious people emphasize baptism in the Holy Spirit, but that isn't the theme at the moment. For one reason, baptism in the Holy Spirit was never imposed as a command. It is always discovered as a promise in the Bible. And in any case, baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the kind of baptism that requires human agency. It isn't a baptism which one person can perform for another. God is always shown to be the one baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Man has nothing to do with it. Now, the apostles were commanded to baptize, and as we shall see, the element that they dealt with was water, not the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 5 says, "There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism." And it's this one baptism that I'm speaking about at the moment. So we're speaking about the baptism which preachers were commanded to preach and believers were commanded to receive. Notice then that it needs water. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Acts 8, verse 36. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" Acts 10, verse 47. John was baptizing at Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. John 3, verse 23. "And there went unto him all the country of Judea, and all they of Jerusalem, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan." Mark 1, verse 5. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, Acts 8, verse 38, are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him by the likeness of his death, we shall be also by the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. So you see, baptism according to these passages requires water, much water, enough for the candidate to go down into the water, to rise up out of the water, because it's a symbol of burial with Christ and rising again with him to newness of life. But for whom was it intended? Who are the proper subjects for New Testament baptism? You see, the act of baptism means nothing of itself. There is no power in water to wash away sin. Baptism only becomes significant when it is administered to the right candidate who fulfills certain required conditions. Nor does it derive its validity or its effectiveness from any authority which the baptizer or the administrator of the ordinance might claim to possess. For example, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Acts 18, verse 8. When they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Acts 8, verse 12. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Acts 8, verse 37. Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 38. Now these passages teach us that baptism is for a person who hears and believes and repents. It is an act of faithful obedience to the gospel of Christ, and it depends for its effectiveness on the faith of the one being baptized, on what he believes, not on what the baptizer believes. Then again, what is the purpose of baptism? I ask this question because it's important that baptism be administered in the right way to the right candidate for the right purpose. And again, let me remind you that we cannot find out the purpose of baptism by looking at passages where it isn't mentioned. Listen to these passages. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 38. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 verse 16. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. All we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Romans 6 and 3. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him, through faith in the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Colossians 2 and 12. So we also might walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and 4. In the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, in which few, that is, eight souls were saved through water, which, after a true likeness, doth now save you, even baptism. Now, if you've managed to jot down these references, and you take the trouble to examine them again, I would like you to notice the words which are used to describe the significance of the baptism of the believer. Saved. The remission of sins. Wash away sins. Put on Christ. Into Christ. Into his death. Raised with him. Walk in newness of life. Saved. Now, if we accept a baptism which does less than this, we haven't received New Testament baptism. Let me ask you tonight, does your baptism harmonize with these passages of Scripture? Were you baptized in the Bible way, as one meeting Bible conditions to receive the Bible's promises? In Acts 22, verse 16, we read how a certain Christian came to Saul of Tarsus, who later became the great apostle Paul, and said to him, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If we can help you to render this kind of obedience to the Savior, we shall be happy to do so. Now, before the